Well, hopefully you can bear with me, as I know I sound a little different this morning, and the sniffles, and hopefully not too many coughs, but we will power through this morning and let God speak. If you were here last week, you know that I welcomed everybody and then I took off and abandoned you as I left in the middle of our service to catch an airplane to Nashville for our Foursquare National Convention. And despite getting sick, I powered through, and it was still a great time of hearing the Lord as Stacy and I seek to be the pastors that God has called us to be and to pastor this church as God has called us to pastor. And so there were some powerful things spoke. And as a matter of fact, one of these days, there is one particular message that I'm probably going to sit down and just play for you guys, because it's probably one of the most powerful, amazing messages possibly I've ever heard. But it was one of the most impactful for me, and just how God meets us in our brokenness. And it was a powerful message. But anyway, it was just an amazing time. And God blessed us, even, like I said, despite being sick, there were some great things that we come back with, and probably many things I'm going to re-listen to and be encouraged by as the weeks and months to come. But this week, I had originally planned to jump back into our series through the Bible. Sorry. But the Lord kind of seemed to lead me in a different direction. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Ephesians. We're jumping into the New Testament here. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, before we dive into these scriptures, let me just kind of give you some insight into where we're going here in these verses. A little over a month ago was Easter, and we talked about the fact that Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth to live as a human like you and like me. And if we look at Scripture, way before Jesus arrived on this earth, there are numerous prophecies of a Messiah who would come and rule, and whose kingdom would last forever. But when Jesus arrived, we found that he was different than other kings. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about this. But in the Old Testament, we would see these kings who would go out and who would conquer other countries. And when they returned, they would march their captives through the city in front of everybody, showing basically their great power. Look what we have done. Look who we have captured. Look what I have accomplished as your king. And these kings then would demand gifts from their people. And it was supposed to be the people's way of thanking the king that they weren't the ones who got conquered and were being displayed in front of the other cities or countries. But when Jesus came, he was a different kind of king. Instead of being a king that demanded us to give him gifts, instead, he poured out his gifts upon us. A few weeks back, we talked about some of those gifts that he gives to us, and the fact that he doesn't give all of us the same gifts. He gives each of us different gifts at different times, for different seasons and for different reasons. And we're going to talk about one of those reasons this morning as we look at these scriptures in Ephesians 4. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me this morning as we read Ephesians 4, verses 11 through verse 16. This is what it says. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, as I mentioned, God gives each of us gifts. And he gives us these gifts, again, for different reasons. But one of the reasons he gives us these gifts is so that we can build one another up. In verse 12, it says, he has given us these gifts so that the body of Christ may be built up. And then it goes on to say that we continue to build each other up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. God desires for us to become mature. That's the title of my message this morning, Becoming Mature, to grow in him, to grow in our understanding of who he is and also who he's calling us to be. And it finishes there in verse 16 by saying that we build each other up in love as each do our part. As I was processing these scriptures, I kept coming back to our mission statement. If you aren't aware of what it is, you'll find it at the back of our bulletin, at the bottom of our sermon notes. And if you've been around at all, you've heard me say it time and time again, that we're simply called to love God and love people to extend his kingdom. That's the mission that God has given us as a church. But the truth is, that's the mission God has given anyone who has chosen to follow Jesus. We're called as followers of Christ to love God, to love others, and do our best to make disciples, to extend his kingdom. And I'm realizing that learning to love God and love people requires spiritual maturity. Because it's hard to love certain people, is it not? It requires spiritual maturity. It requires commitment. It requires hard work. It actually requires effort on our part. We can't think, oh, well, I'll just say yes to Jesus and all of a sudden I'm going to love God and love people. It'll just be perfect, right? It doesn't work that way. It requires effort on our part. Because how do we grow in our love towards God? We grow in our love towards God by spending time with him, by getting to know him on a deeper level. And if you've been around at all, you know that that's not easy at times, right? It's hard to make time in this busy world to make time for the Lord, but we have to. And the thing we have to understand is it doesn't just happen overnight. We don't just say yes to Jesus and all of a sudden immediately we just make time. Immediately we just start serving God and loving him like we've never done before. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes intentionality. We have to be intentional about it. It takes us making time in this busy world to be with him. And the thing is, when we make God a priority, when we commit to seeking him, to growing in our love for him, to being with him and understanding who he is, it's then that we begin to grow in our love for people. Because our growth and maturity in the Lord helps us begin to see beyond the surface. Because in our own power, we see at the surface. But with God, we don't just see the exterior. Instead, we start to see the way God sees. When we love him and grow in him, we start to see the way he sees. We start to see people as his creation that he loves and that he cares for. We don't focus on their faults and failures anymore. Instead, we begin to see the possibilities of who God created them to be. I learned this greatly from my pastors in Newburgh. Because, you know, working in a church, sometimes you deal with difficult people. And I remember my attitude about some of these people. But my pastors, they would just say, hey, God is working in them. God loves them. He is using them. You have to look beyond the surface. And when we look beyond the surface, we begin to love them the way that God loves them. We begin to love them in that way where we're drawn to them and where they're drawn to His love. And they begin to see His kingdom extended because we love them in a way that draws them to the Lord. This is why maturity is so important, because it's through that maturing process that our lives are transformed. And it's in our maturity that we see His light shine through us in ways that draw people to Him. And it's in our maturity that we begin to have people start to ask us questions. Questions like, why are you always so positive? Or questions like, how can you be so calm in a situation like this? Or maybe questions like, how can you have joy when things all around you seem to be crumbling? And it's in these moments when people ask us these questions that we get to say, well, do you really want to know? Because I'll tell you. I'll tell you what it's all about. It's through the love of Jesus. It's through our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's through the power of God in our lives. And it's something that you can experience too. Do you want to know Jesus? It opens up that door. Paul tells us in verse 14 that if we grow in our spiritual maturity, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. You see, Paul compares our early walk in Christianity to that of an infant. And the thing about infants is that they have no knowledge of the truth. You know, I could bring an infant up here and say, hey, this is the number 2. Yeah, say 2. 2, and then later someone will show them that and they'll go, 2, right? I can say, hey, this is the number 3. And they'll be like, 3, yeah, 3. So when your mama asks you how old you are, say, 3, right? 3. I mean, you can tell an infant anything and they'll believe it, right? They can easily be swayed and easily be manipulated. And the same holds true for the infant Christian, because they don't know the truth. They don't know what is reality and what isn't. And that's why it's so important that we grow in the knowledge of truth, so we aren't swayed by things that aren't truthful. Because the enemy loves to tell us, yes, this is 3. Good job, Darren. Keep going. Keep thinking that. Keep believing that. Right? The enemy loves to try to pull us in different directions. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases this section of scripture in the Message. Let me read for you Ephesians 4, 14 through 16 from the Message. I think I have it to go on the screen here. It says this: no prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. God's desire is that we would come together in unity, and that we would use the gifts He's given us to build one another up in love, to extend His kingdom. Like I said earlier, to our graduates, that you would encourage them, that you would build them up as they head into this new season of their life. And we do this, we want to see more and more people grow from those stages of infancy to adulthood, to become mature Christians. Now, on a personal level, it's about being discipled. It's about spiritual maturity. It's about growing and becoming who God has called us to be. Not who we want to be, not who we think God wants us to be, but who God wants us to be. And can I be honest with you this morning? I hope so, because one of our core values here at Dallas Foursquare Church is authenticity. But if I'm honest with you, becoming spiritually mature, it's not easy. It's not. I struggle with it, okay? Anyone that says following Jesus is easy isn't being honest with you, all right? Luke 9:23 tells us, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Does that sound easy to any of you, taking up your cross daily? If it does, you probably don't understand the reality of the cross. Watch the Passion of the Christ. It might change your opinion if you think it's easy. Because the truth is, God never promised us that it would be easy. But he does promise us something. He promises us that we don't have to do it by ourselves. He will be with us every step of the way. He is our strength. He is our shelter. He is our comforter. And I'm realizing more and more that true spiritual maturity happens in my life when I learn to trust in Him, to trust in His will and hand upon my life. You know, my wife and I have been on a crazy journey over the last 8.5 years. And God continues to show us what it looks like to trust in Him. It's funny because I thought the big moment of trust for me was packing up my family and coming here to Dallas, Oregon. But as a pastor, I'm regularly confronted with situations and challenges that I have never dealt with before. That's why I was a youth pastor. Man, that's a senior pastor's job. That's why he's, oh, talk to the senior pastor. Oh, talk to the senior pastor, right? But I am now the senior pastor, and I'm confronted with these situations and challenges that I've never dealt with before. And in those moments, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that they scared me to death at times. And in those moments, that fear and doubt come pressing in. And I find myself being challenged and being stretched beyond my abilities. But it's in those moments that I have to give it to the Lord, that I have to decrease so that He might increase through me. It's in those moments that I have to trust that though I can't handle it, though that I don't know what I'm doing, God does. And that I can trust in Him. I can trust that He's in control. Now, is it easy? No. And there have been those times where I wanted to run as fast as I could in the opposite direction. But I can honestly say this. I have grown more in my relationship with the Lord these last 7.5 years than I had the 40 years before that. God's desire is to bring us to spiritual maturity. He desires to see us grow closer and closer to Him each and every day. And I want to finish this morning with a video. I found this video back in youth ministry years ago. And it's an amazing video of how God wants to form us into who He's calling us to be. And so I want to show you this video this morning.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know. I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay, okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know? I'll stay right here, and then, you know...
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my
ways. Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
Now what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me, then use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison. But look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God.
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Powerful video, right? Verse 16 says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Our part is to grow. Our part is to mature into his original masterpiece and to allow his gifts to be perfected in our lives so that we can be built up together in the image of Christ. That's his desire for our life. And we may feel like, who am I? But God says, you are my creation, whom I love. And I want to make you into my original masterpiece. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, you came and you died on the cross for our sins. You paid the price. You conquered sin and death so that we could have life in you. And Lord, your desire was not for us to live these humdrum lives. Your desire was not for us to walk around with our heads bowed in shame because of our struggles and our failures in life. Your desire was for us to become whole in you, to become the masterpieces you created us to be, to grow in you, to become mature in our relationship with you, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for each of us this morning. I pray for those areas of our lives that we're holding on to, that we don't allow you to chisel out, Lord, that we would give those to you. And Lord, yes, it's painful. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's hard. But in the end, Lord, we see your glory. In the end, we become who you've called us to be, and we get to experience your grace, your peace, your joy in a way that we've never experienced before. Because it isn't a joy that comes from this world. It's a joy that comes from you, Lord. It comes from the power of your Spirit in our lives. And so, Lord, mold us and shape us into who you've called us to be, Lord. Help us to mature out of the stages of infancy where we're thrown by the wind and the waves, Lord, where we become mature Christians who know who we are in you, Lord. Who know your love for us, who know that even when we mess up and fail, that we can pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and continue to move forward because you love us and you provided a way for us to do that, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. You have a plan for each of us, Lord, to build us up, to help us become the men and women of God that you've called us to be, to where we love you. And we love others in a way that extends your kingdom, Lord. And so help us grow in that love for you. Help us grow in that love for people so that we truly can see your kingdom extended, Lord, that we can be disciples who make disciples. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. May you allow your word today to penetrate our hearts, Lord, to challenge each of us where we're at. Where are the areas that we need to grow, Lord? What are those things or those areas in our life that we need to give to you, that we need to let you do some work on, Lord? We give them to you this morning. Come and make us into the men and women of God that you desire us to be. We thank you for these things. We thank you for your word. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that you are encouraged this morning by this word. I hope that you are encouraged by the skit guys. I love those guys. They do some funny stuff, but they also have some amazing, serious skits that really challenge us in our relationship with the Lord. And so I hope you are encouraged this morning, and that as you walk out of this place, you realize that God wants to make you into his masterpiece, to use you in a way that he can't use anybody else. You are the one he has chosen to use for this or for that or whatever it may be. And that when you walk out of this place today, you walk with your head held high, knowing that you are his creation and that he has a plan for your life. Amen.